Blog Talk Radio.
June 30th, Oscar Lopez, your host. An exciting morning all over the gridiron leagues everywhere, and especially in Vantaa, Finland. So we're going to talk about the World Championships. Normally we go into detail with the rest of the leagues, but today we're going to exclusively go into the IFAB Women's World Championship 2013 that is taking place in Vantaa, Finland, and that kicked off this morning. So for us, it was this morning. It was kicked off yesterday, in that sense, Sunday, officially. And we had a slate of games that happened this morning. Game day number one took place, Finland versus Spain, Team USA versus Sweden. So we'll go into detail a little bit about what happened today in the two matchups. But we're going to basically, talk about what's going to happen in the tournament, who's the probable, team that's going to come out of the tournament, and go into that in a little bit. So welcome to Gridiron Beauties. We are going to have an exciting show today. We have at about 30 after the hour, we have the No Joke Football Huddle. We have Sydney Froelich, former LFL All-Fantasy from the Minnesota Valkyrie, will join us at about half the hour at that point. So between now and then, we will go ahead and try to dive into the WWC 2013 tournament that's taking place in Vantaa, which is the equivalent of the World Cup for the women's gridiron game. It started in 2010, and now it is in its second tournament in 2013. So if you're new to the show, we welcome you with open arms. Our short format's interactive, and we engage via social media platforms. So if you want to participate, you can do so in various ways. On our Twitter feed, you can submit questions to our guests prior to the show using hashtag GB Radio after any comment. We review the questions and select a handful to address with our huddle guests. You can also call in by dialing 1-714-888-7418. You can talk to our guests or ourselves, 1-714-888-7418. Press 1 for the queue so we know you're on dial here. We love the feedback on for our show and our guests as well, so you can leave comments here on Blog Talk Radio under the comment box. You can find us on the various social sites like Twitter at Gridiron Beauty. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Gridiron Beauty and go to our website at zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauties. We encourage everyone to network with us by sharing retweets, posts, and information about your league, players, and organization on our Twitter and Facebook pages. And we also have a format to get the word out in terms of events, sponsorships, and branding news by using hashtag 2-Minute Drill, the number 2, MINDRILL, on any posts on Twitter. We tally those weekly, and at the end of the show, we shout out to our listeners where you're going to be at in terms of an event and what's happening during the upcoming week. So an example, week ending this week, the cutoff date was Saturday for any submission going forward from this day, which is Sunday up to Saturday. We want to thank the amazing network of sources and friends that we have on Facebook and Twitter that provide us with women's gridiron news and notes globally. Without them, we would not be here today bringing you the news and notes of the women's gridiron football game globally. I want to give a shout-out to at Backseat Coach, at Janet TV Football, at WFA Scores, at IWFL, at the WSFL, at Football Nacional, at FX Mexico, at FIFA _Spain, at WTF Canada, and of course, Touchdown Europe. And Touchdown Europe is the exclusive home for anything that's happening at the World Women's Championship. Touchdown Europe, and you can also go to the IFAB Insider, IFAF Insider on Twitter for the latest news and notes that are happening in the women's game. You can also go to the official site of the WWC 2013 at WWC 2013 FI on Twitter, or you can go on to the Facebook page as well and just click on WWC 2013 in the search box. So you can get all the latest details, the information happening on a minute-by-minute and day-by-day basis if you follow our Twitter feed, and then you can link it to the rest of the feeds as well, or you can go to the official sites that we just mentioned for the Women's World Championships. The other, since we are in the U.S., we covered the other prominent leagues. There is action happening still with the IWFL, the WSFL Championship happened. You can go to our Twitter feed and get the results there as well for that title. We also cover the LFL US, all branches, the Maritime Women's Football League that's still playing right now, the Women's Arena Football League that kicked off this afternoon in Kenner, Louisiana, and we will have the updates on that as well on our Twitter feed, so you can get that information as well. The Sugar and Spice Football League, which is in its couple weeks in, the Women's Indoor Football League, which will kick off in 2014 in the U.S. Also, the international scene with networking groups as Guam Women's Soccer Football League, the LNIFA Spain, which is the League of National Football American for the ladies, the CIFF, which is the Italian version of the female league, and they're having their championship coming up this coming week also as well. The Football Queensland League of the Female Queensland League of Queensland in Australia, the ACT Women's League in Australia, and the Ladies Football League Australia, as well as the Ladies Gridiron League of Australia. So in Mexico, we cover FXF Mexico, AFFE Mexico, and the Pretty Girls Football League as well. So you can visit us on Facebook under our Like section for all the Women's Gridiron Leagues that we follow and that we network with. So let's get going with the show here. We are going to be talking exclusively Women's World Championship. So it started off in 2010, a little bit of history behind it. Team USA basically is the first winner of the tournament. It's probably the most dominant team, equivalent to the Dream Team in the basketball sense. It's got a pool of all the players, over 1,500 players nationwide in the United States, and those players come from the various leagues in the U.S., the IWFL, the WFA, the WSFL, and all the other leagues that obviously exist. So they got a great pool of talent. Team USA is backed up by USA Football now, exclusively with the IFAB organization. So it's a huge venture for Women's Gridiron. It is a staple venture that will obviously progress. And going forward, hopefully it will venture out to the rest of the countries. As an example, Australia will be starting their team in 2017 as well. We are looking forward to maybe Great Britain and all the other countries that maybe want to participate. So at this point, in 2010, the games were held in Sweden, and the final standings for that tournament were the U.S. winning the gold, Canada coming in second, Finland was third, Germany fourth, fifth was Sweden, and at the time, Austria was one of the original teams that came into play. The changes for the teams have not changed. It's pretty much the same teams. The only exception is that we have Spain in place of Austria. And the Spanish team is really new. It's made up of the leagues within Spain as well, some of the top leagues in the Spanish league as well. So the United States team basically won the final, Canada against U.S. It was 66-0. The score doesn't reflect the effort on the Canadians' part in the second half, but Team USA, pretty much the dominant team in the tournament. It's the team to beat right now. I would classify put Canada as the second team to beat. Given what American football played in this country, obviously those two teams are probably the top two teams. And then you got to take into account maybe Finland as the third best team in the tournament right now. Sweden and Germany have not been that impressive so far. We'll see how the German team does next this next tournament, which is game two coming up on Tuesday. It's Sweden versus Germany. The Swedish team playing against U.S. had some injuries there as well. We'll see how that affects them going up against Germany on Tuesday, July 7th, at that point. And Spain will be facing Canada. Spain as well had a rough outing taking on Finland, and hopefully there's a couple injuries there as well for that team. So we'll see how the Spanish team reacts. They got beat 47-0. Not such a bad score in that sense, but at the same time, it's triple digits, and it's something that they need to take into account. But given off, they come off the box first, probably a better outing than Austria did in 2010, which was they got beat 63-0 initially right off the bat against the U.S. team. So the women's tournament is an amazing amazing effort being put together by IFAB and as well as Team USA and the rest of the bodies in terms of the game. The event is a huge draw, and hopefully it will become a situation where now they'll bring it from the Europe stage, maybe bring it to the U.S. and see how the attendance does that in the U.S. I think it would be great to bring the IFAB World Women's Championship to maybe Balboa Stadium, maybe Heinz Field like the WFA did, or bring it to a major stadium, major U.S. stadium, to see what kind of a draw they would get. Maybe an 18,000 arena setting at that point, or scale it down to that sense. But hopefully that's going to be the case in 2017 when the rest of the world sees the next tournament at that point. So let's dive into the divisions at this point. And we'll take into account, obviously, that they're breaking down by sections. Division A is the United States, obviously the U.S. team, which is the champion team. And then it's Germany and Sweden. And then on Division B is Canada, Finland, and Spain. So the schedule goes, and we have the schedule for today. The 47-0 win was Finland against Spain. So that initially puts Finland at the top of the B division to start. And Finland has been in a good record. They're basically 3-1 overall in the tournament. So because of the win today, they're 3-1. They were 2-1. The only loss basically coming to the U.S. team. So like we talked about earlier, the U.S. team basically being the staple team for that. So Sunday, it was U.S. against Sweden, 84-0, overpowering Sweden. The U.S. is just a juggernaut. So we're not even going to go into detail. It's just a fact that they are the better team to beat, and somebody will have to, go into that motion to try to beat them. Game two, you're looking at the Swedish team taking on Germany. Should be a tough matchup, Germany and Sweden. In 2010, I believe they met, and it was Germany beating Sweden 14-0 in that tournament. So we'll see if maybe the Swedish get the revenge on Germany. And then it's Spain against Canada. First time that they will meet. I don't believe that the Spanish team is going to improve much better than they did against, obviously, Finland. But we will see. Canada is kind of on the same level as the United States. Sadi Ashraf, the rest of the teams, they got about 13 veterans returning. It's a sure bet that we might see a U.S.-Canada final. And that might be the repeat of 2010. So we'll go into detail into why that might happen. Game three will be on Thursday as well. So it will be Germany versus the U.S., Canada against Finland. So the U.S. team, off of huge win against Sweden, now will face Germany. Germany will be coming off of a Swedish win or loss. That's basically how it boils down to. How well the Germans will do against the Swedish team will reflect on how well they will do against the Americans at this point. So Canada will be facing, like I said, Spain. The Spanish team coming off the loss, obviously, from Finland. We'll see how their reaction is against a top-notch team like Canada. And the end result, hopefully, is not the same as the U.S. versus Sweden result, but that might be the case. Canada will then venture out after that game and go into against Finland. Finland will then have at least 10 days to prepare for Canada. And I think that will be a competitive matchup. Finland, Canada should be a good matchup in terms of a competitive. So that shouldn't be much of a blowout there. I'm hoping not, but hopefully the Finnish will come up and play really tough against the Canadian team. Game four on the slate is Saturday, 6-7. That's the slate. It's going to be placement 5 and 6. So whoever finishes 5th and 6th will be the opening round of the tournament on the final day. And then it will be the bronze medal game, which is obviously 4 and 3. And then you got the 1 and 2 meeting for the gold medal. So any of the changes any of the updates in terms of what's going on with the stats, who's on board with what. You can get that at www.wwc2013.com. It is the exclusive website, wwc2013.com, and you get the latest information there. You can also follow at IFAB Insider, and they have the links, obviously, to the stats that are being supplied by the Finnish organization as well. The ISS Stadium is a really nice stadium. If you've seen it there, the field is an amazing field on Vantaa. It's just an amazing event. I know the turnout's probably not as great as you would like, but at the same time, it's a start, and it's a huge event, and hopefully we'll have a build to it. So let's get into the second game day, because today, like I said, it was the Finnish team take care of Spain, which was an easy route there, 47-0, 84-0 U.S. against Sweden, and we kind of figured that out because they obviously have the top team there in the tournament. So, Swedish against Germany will be a different monster in that sense. The after party, from what my notes are here, there will be an after party on Saturday, I believe it's July 7th, and it will be at the Y Nightclub, and you can get the details at www.ynightclub.fi for all the details and ticket prices if you're going to be in Vantaa for the tournament. So they're going to have the after party there right after the tournament, so it's going to be a great time there as well. So the tournament scheduled for this morning, if you go to our links, he will tell you exactly what time you schedule it. It was 8 a.m. on our time, which is Pacific time, and it was about 10 a.m. for the second game. So depending on what time frame you're at or what location of the country you're at, the time might change. So the next tournament is Tuesday, July 7th. So check the time and dates on that, and we will have them on our Twitter feed as well. So go into detail. Spain, coming off the team that they had, couple notable players that were on the team, Andrea Lopez Rubio. We also had Raquel Garcia, and then we also have standout Raquel Diaz Garcia, which was the actually top performer for the Spanish team against the game that was today against Finland. So she played a really good game. There were a couple other players that obviously played their hearts out. You're talking about the collaboration of Sanchez, which is Jasmine San Antonio Sanchez, and then you also had Jaria Arnal. So there's a couple players on the Spanish team that are going to be somewhat improved, hopefully, on the second game out. It was their first game initially. They've never had this type of a tournament atmosphere, so I'm hoping that Coach Roberto Torresillas will get his staff ready, and hopefully they will have a better outing on the second game as they take on Canada, and Canada's going to be a big monster situation on that. So we'll talk about the Finnish team. The quarterback, Laura Patakangas, she is literally, top-notch quarterback. She's up in the ranks. The team is ranked third in the tournament, so they play a very good game, as well as the starting quarterback that was there also is Tina Salo. She had a great game today. So Tina Salo is, on the level of equivalency as maybe a Sammy Grisoffi, not at that high level, but she's right up there, as the number three team in the tournament. So, and you also had Alina Caro and Karina Pakula, who also plays on the Finnish team. So between the returning team, the Swedish teams had roughly almost over 10 players returning. So for Coach Jorma Heidetinen, he's obviously having a good feel because some of their veterans are still on the team. And the rest of them are kind of rookies, but given that their season in their own leagues, you can tell that obviously putting up 47 points, they were pretty confident coming into the game, understanding, what they needed to get done. They got one win under their belt. Now they need to get ready for Canada. Canada being probably their biggest test of the tournament. And hopefully if they can get by Canada, then more than likely it's a situation where they're going to face two top teams. And the next top team probably is going to be U.S. So the Finnish team really has some homework to do because they got to face maybe Canada, beat Canada, and then they know they're going to end up facing the U.S. team. So scouting the U.S. team now is probably the best thing for the Finnish team to do, given the fact that they shouldn't take Canada lightly, of course, but given the record of 3-1 in the tournament between the 2 years, it's a sure bet that they're going to go into against Canada and more in the final, probably against the U.S. team. So the U.S. team basically being the team that needs that everybody needs to worry about at this point if they want to make something of themselves in the tournament. Let's dive into Team USA, since obviously we're, you know, in the States. Team USA, you know, they, what can you say? Literally today, I thought for sure that we were watching the Chicago Force of the WFA. I mean, literally, Chicago Force has been putting up an average of 66 points. And the reason we say that is because the coach for the Chicago Force, John Konecki, if I'm pronouncing it right, yeah, Konecki, and obviously Mark McLaughlin, the coaches for Chicago Force are the coaches for Team USA. So it kind of goes hand in hand. You basically saw the Chicago Force on the field in Vontaa, and that's really what you saw today. You saw a machine of incorporated players. You're talking people from the Boston Militia, top-notch team in the WFA. You're talking players from the Dallas Diamonds, another top-notch team. Chicago Force putting in an amazing amount of players on there. Seattle Majestic players, obviously they were top-notch this year in the WFA. DC Diva players. I mean, you go down the slate of this roster of Team USA, and you got yourself a complete dream team, probably a better team than in 2010 at this point. You got a lot of more players, more talented players than you had in 2010, I think, in that sense. Not take away from any of the players in the first year, of course, but you have a lot of players on that. You have Jen Walker returning. You also had Sharon Vasquez from Pittsburgh Passion, top-notch player, defensive back there. Karen Mulligan, what can you say about that? New York Sharks, kind of a staple in the WFA. And you had Sammy Grisoffi together. Between Karen Mulligan, Sammy Grisoffi, I don't know if they're beatable. It's going to take somebody to really hold them defensively. It's going to take somebody to really put an aggressive defensive stance against them, because offensively, and they are literally loaded. I mean, you got Adrian Smith, returning a veteran. You got Jen Walker on defense, returning linebacker. Catherine Sowers, defensive back. I mean, I can go down the list of a lot of players on this team that obviously are very impactful for their individual teams. And you had Cassie Brick from the world champion San Diego Surge as well, made an impact today. Brandi Hatcher from the Chicago Force today, very, very much an impact. You had Odessa Jenkins, obviously, from the DC Divas as well. So there's a lot of players today, including Jamie Menzik from Chicago Force. They just, basically played their game. Ashley Berggren from Chicago Force. So a lot of the Force players contributed to the win today. That's basically my point is, given the fact that their coach coaches them, it really was more of the WFA Chicago Force into the tournament. So they're going to be tough to beat. Like I said, that team has scored 66 points. And now you take the nine players that were on that team and you put together an all-star cast around them of Militia, Sharks, Passion, Diamonds, Central War Angels, you name it. You put together a bunch of players from the rest of the squads, and now you have a super team. And this is what it boils down to. Whoever beats this team will have earned a huge achievement. It would be the equivalent of the Russians beating the U.S. team in the 1980. If anybody can take off Team USA this year in this tournament, it would be that huge of a monumental accomplishment. So the finish, Team Finland is probably the team that can do it. I don't know if they can or not, but they would be the ones to strike because they would get in the final. Canada, Team Canada is the other team, and I'm pretty sure Canada should be able to go into Spain, against the Spanish team, and really win. Not to say the Spanish team is not going to play tough, not going to put out their efforts, but I think the Canadian team really will be able to take care of Spain. Now, whether they take care of Finland is a totally different situation. Might be a competitive state. But no matter what, if Canada runs the table between Spain and Finland, they will meet, obviously, Team USA. And it's going to be another battle. The last time they met, they got 66-0, but they held them after the two quarters after the half to a point where they weren't scoring as much. So hopefully this year, the talented team of Canada, coming off the players from, obviously, the Maritime Women's Football League, the Western Canadian Football League as well, they have a lot of rosters together. They have a huge upside in that sense. They're very hopeful that they're going to get something done this year. I'm thinking they will be able to impress. So a lot of you know, what ifs, who can do this, what can happen at that point. So keep up with all the information, up to date on everything that's going on. You can go to the official website at IFAP.com, or you can go to the Twitter feed at IFAP Insider to get the latest updates there. You can also follow us. We follow just about everybody. Like I said, FIFA_Spain. We also follow the Finnish team as well. So all the links are there. You can follow the individual teams. We have individual players following us as well. We follow them, trying to get a feel as to what's going on with the tournament, who's going into the situation of winning at all this year. And I think Team USA is the favorite. You got to put yourself in that sense. Canada coming in second, like we talked about. We'd have to put the Finnish team, Finland, number three, top-notch in the tournament. And it'll be a toss-up between Germany and Spain. And then Germany, depending on how they do against the Swedish team, it really will depend on, you know, what's going on the last half of the bracket in terms of the tournament itself. So if you have any questions on that, anything you want to dive in, we have 1-714-888-7418, 1-888-714-7418, excuse me, 1-714-888-7418. So you can call in, and we'll have pretty much at this point, Sydney Froelich will come in about a couple minutes here. She'll be calling in, hopefully, and we'll get her dived into what's going on in her world. She was a former all-fantasy player with the Minnesota Valkyrie. She played in 2011 for the Legends Football League, or Lingerie Football League at that point, but now Legends. So we'll dive into her as soon as she calls in, and then we'll get into the No Joke Football Huddle with her at this point. Take a look at the Swedish team. Since we took a look, obviously, top down into the U.S. team, Swedish team at this point, they have some returning veterans, but they not as much as the U.S. team. So they're kind of, I would say, kind of rookies in a sense for this tournament as well. But you have some top players here, returning players, Emma Vandorf. You have Moa Amfrandissen, which plays really well. She's a fullback. You had right receiver Anna Persson as well. You also have Alina Kalin from the Stockholm Mean Machines, and she's a defensive back as well. Nina Kivik-Harshu, defensive lineman as well from the Mean Machines. And you have Frida Love returning from the Uppsala 86ers. And you have Mila Beckensem as well as from the Stockholm Mean Machines. So you have all those veterans players returning at this point. So it's a situation now, I think, really defensively, they're in good shape. I think offensively there's going to be some question marks. The question marks really it's going to rely on can Marion Gimbag kind of improve on the performance, from the first game at this point. So we'll see how, the Swedish team does against the German team coming up in a couple of days here. And we'll see how that reflects on that and how they respond is really the word. They have Veronica von Vindwall, who's also top-notch wide receiver in that sense. But, they're pretty much rough stacked defensively. They got a lot of players that are really good players defensively. So between, Marion Gimbag and Ellen Kang, it's going to be a situation where maybe they rebound a little bit better in that sense to get everything, situated in that regard to see if they can maybe tackle a win. They have to get a win against Germany. Germany did not play very well in the tournament, obviously, in 2010. If you go back to the German team, the only win I believe they had was against Sweden. And the German team had Swedish beating the Swedish team 14-0. And Germany finished fourth in that tournament. They got beat by the Finnish team in the third place round, 26-18. So for Germany, it was a situation where they need to figure out if they can get a win in 2013, because if they want to be relevant in the tournament, they got to get some wins. And against Sweden and against Team USA, if they can go 1-1, there's an opportunity for them to get into the round, maybe to play for a third place or maybe the bronze at this point for Team Germany. So we'll see how that turns out in that sense going forward for the tournament. So if you have any questions on the tournament, like I said, you can go to the official website, which is www.2013.com, get all the stats, get all the players, get familiar with them. On our Facebook page, we are devoting pretty much this whole week and this whole tournament, and we're updating on our Facebook page all the links that we can update. We had FlickerRock.com, who's got some amazing photos, courtesy, obviously, from the tournament. You can also go to the IFAB on Facebook, and they're going to be linking, obviously, things that you can share about the tournament. We have individual players as well that are giving us information and sharing with us as well. I want to give a shout-out to ESPNW. ESPNW, we ended up posting the Let Her Play, which is Maggie Page. And if you haven't gone to our Twitter feed or our Facebook page, you can go there now. You can look it up. Maggie Page was a player, a young lady that wants to play women's gridiron, and apparently was not allowed to play women's gridiron because of the fact that it was a situation with distractive to the boys' club, I guess, in her league. It's a situation where the league that she's in apparently thought that she was a distraction to participate, whether it be, you know, in whatever position she was trying out for. So we put the petition out on change.org. Change.org is where we need to sign the petition. And you can go to our Facebook page or our Twitter page, and you can go ahead, and it takes a couple seconds, sign the petition, and let's see if we can get this movement going with her and see if we can go ahead and get this young lady, you know, to have them make a change, either add a girls' team to the league so that more girls can participate. And I'm pretty sure there's more girls that want to participate and play tackle football. But, if you know, they're not doing that. Same thing with the Conan Paul. You could talk about Sam Gordon at some point. You know, we have all those players that are very talented female players, and they want to just play gridiron. And they're not being allowed to do it for whatever reason, either political reasons or either policy reasons. So the policy has to change either within the times, or it's a situation where somebody needs to make a decision about adding a program for the girls. So it's as simple as that. I have no idea why people complicate things more than that. I mean, it's a situation where it needs to be addressed professionally. It needs to be taken into account whether we have an existing program, what is the interest, and then move forward and put together some sort of program in that regard. So, go to our Facebook page, go to our Twitter feed, and you'll on our Twitter feed you'll link it as well as our Facebook page. So, Team USA, as like I said, we are on ESPNW, and we appreciate ESPNW for the coverage. They're doing a hashtag 98 days to shine, and we were on day 32, and they put up Sammy Grisafi's picture that she sent and shared with everybody on Twitter, and it was chosen as a picture for the day. So you can go to the ESPNW.com/98 days, and you can see it there as well. So we appreciate that, and we also post it on our sites as well. So we'll go into, you know, basically making changes. Things have to change. You know, women's interest in American football is huge. And this is an example. The Women's World Championship is an example of that interest. It is a situation where we need to make everybody aware that there is women's gridiron interest, and not just the U.S., but obviously internationally now. So we'll go into that sense. Hopefully within the next couple, you know, months coming up after this tournament, maybe things will change. With USA Football being involved with Team USA and Team USA being the staple dream team, hopefully they can do something to elevate the game internationally as well, and get more interest and put more programs out there for the young ladies to play gridiron. So we'll go into the No Joke Football Huddle. No Joke Football Huddle is sponsored by No Joke Football Brand. You can find it at Zazzle.com, Gridiron Beauties. And you can purchase there, sport your gear, sport your attitude. You can customize anything you want in there, tees, hoodies, gifts. So go to Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauty.
I believe we have Sydney Froelich on the line here. Let's get her on.
Sydney, are you on?
Hi, yes.
Hey, Sydney, how are you doing today?
Good, I'm great. Beautiful here.
You're doing great. I know you were traveling, so I appreciate you making the time for us.
Yes, I was enjoying the lake. It's finally
were you
nice
enjoying
weather,
the lake?
So. Yeah,
so you're
some color.
Awesome. Perfect. Where are you at right now?
I'm in Minnesota right now still, but I'm actually moving to New Jersey at the end of the month.
Oh, you're going to be a Jersey
for
girl
work.
Finally. Oh. Awesome.
Finally.
Well, I mean, you were debating the last time we spoke about moving somewhere, so you're going East Coast, huh?
Yeah, pretty much, yes. Work, my boyfriend's out there, he coaches football, so I'm going to get to still be around a lot of football out there and just new experience.
Awesome. So, Sydney, I know we were talking before the show here, when it starts, we're talking about the World Women's Championship. What do you think of that tournament? You think it's a good start? I mean, 2 years in, there's a lot of fanfare for it, but you know, there's still not much support in terms of international flair. But Team USA is getting involved. Hopefully, the NFL at some point will get involved. What do you think of the Women's World Tournament?
It's definitely something that the U.S. is going to have to spearhead, because just from traveling around the world, we've only actually really been to Australia and Canada, their perception of American football and whatnot is a little skewed. So it's something that the U.S. is definitely going to have to spearhead, but it's awesome. It's great exposure for women in the sport. No longer
now,
just
Sydney,
the fans, but as
there was
actual
a couple
athletes.
Players from the LFL. I think there was one or two players or a handful of players that tried out. They were obviously playing an indoor arena. Would you be inclined to try out for the U.S. team maybe in 2017?
We'll see where my body's at that point. That's kind of down the road a ways. I'm still – we'll see. Maybe.
I mean, full kit. Have you played full kit before? Like full 11 on 11 before?
No.
Never played it?
LFL is my first crack at football. I like the LFL a little more, just because it's faster. It's just a higher pace, I think, than 11 on 11 for women.
So, Cindy, tell us a little bit of what you've been doing. Some of our fans wanted to find out, get you on, because they wanted to know, you know, the whole season started. Obviously, the rebranding of the league went into effect. It went, you know, from Monterey moniker to, obviously, Legends Football League. And then everybody, you know, was hyped that yourself and maybe Whitney Murata were going to come back to the Valkyrie. And then all of a sudden we have, a situation where not just yourself, but there's other players that obviously decided to opt out to participate in the season. You know, we talked to Audrey Lasco before that. We talked to Tessa Barrera a couple shows back. So there was a lot of, you know, big names, Amber Reed. I mean, we can go down the list of, you know, the top-notch players from 2011. So what was your decision to tell the fans? What was the main reason you decided, obviously, not to participate in the Legends Football League 2013?
Okay, I'll try and make it short. I think we had a lot of expectations going into the new season and the rebranding. A lot of things were promised by the league that they fell through. The league didn't kind of come through on some things that they were, whether it was TV or just the amount of games we were going to play. And specifically in Minnesota, our coaching staff quit from the previous year, basically along, I don't want to speak for them, but along some of those things, you know, they had promises from the league and then they fell through. So they decided to move on personally and it made it a little hard. I know Whitney and I being exposed to first couple of the All-Star games and then in Canada, we got to play with other girls from other teams. We got to experience different coaching staff. So we came back with, for this season, with a lot of knowledge under our belt where we really felt that we could use that and build something in Minnesota. We thought we had the tools. A lot of the LFL is experience and getting the games under your belt. So with what we had and what we could bring to the table, we thought it would be great. We ended up, I'm just going to say, in my opinion, hiring the wrong coaching staff to lead us to that vision that we had, and quite a few of us, I don't even know how many now, veterans just parted ways with the team because it wasn't the direction that I wanted to go in anymore.
So now, Whitney, was there any concern on your part due to injury or coverage? Was that more of a factor? Do you think if it was the coaching was in place, if it was the right fit for that, do you think you'd still be playing, even though there was probably lack of some sort of coverage or in that sense?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It definitely was not a I actually got hurt pretty bad in Australia. I dislocated my shoulder and then continued to play up in Canada So that, I guess, wasn't really, it wasn't the health benefits or, you know, that type of coverage. But it basically was, you know, you want to, you have visions, you have goals, and you want them to align with the coaching staff. And they just weren't seeing what veterans could bring to the table. And maybe, you know, it just wasn't a good matchup. And we went to Mitch with our concerns, and he didn't view them the same way. And basically in mine and Whitney's case, I know we're the only two that this happened to, it was you can't go play anywhere else. You're stuck in Minnesota. So that was kind of tough to hear because anyone else could have moved teams. And in the past year, girls were moving teams from Philly to Tampa, from Tampa to L.A., you know, so it was kind of odd that he wouldn't allow Whitney and I to move teams and, you know, to play on a team to compete and a team to win.
So at this point, Sydney, were you considering Omaha at this point if you were allowed? If you let's say the option was not in Minnesota, were you considering maybe Omaha?
No, I think if I was considering anywhere, it probably would have been out in LA because I'm pretty close with a lot of those girls, or somewhere closer like Green Bay or Chicago. Definitely not Omaha though.
Okay, so it would have been either stay within the area or moved out. Maybe on the West Coast is that's pretty much what it would have been.
Yeah, for me personally, I don't know what Whitney would have done, but I know that living in Minnesota, we couldn't just, you know, pick up and drive to Green Bay every weekend without some stability there.
Now,
but then we
the
weren't
fans
allowed
want
to
know.
The league didn't give us that option, so we kind of were. Sorry,
you were kind of stuck with that decision, basically, right?
Yeah, it was a, you can go back and play in Minnesota or you cannot play at all. And so we both have moved on, and I'm going to speak for myself. I'm definitely okay with it. I'm very happy. I have a lot more time on my hands, and I can heal.
So now, Whitney, tell the fans a little bit about your struggles with the injury, and can you go into detail about, you know, how it happened? And you, obviously you said it came off the All-Star game. Were you rehabbing the whole time between the All-Star game and obviously before the Canada 2012 season?
Yeah, so I got hurt in the last game in the All-Star series, dislocated my shoulder twice in the game, came back and I rehabbed quite a bit, and just ended up playing some, I think the first time it happened was on defense up in Canada, and I did it twice more up there, and I tore my meniscus, so the Canada season was not nice to my body. It was a great experience, but it was a long one.
Yeah, and then you were also playing with Nikki Johnson. Can you tell us a little bit about playing with Nikki Johnson?
Yeah. Oh, our Canada team was awesome. So it was myself and Whitney from Minnesota, and then we got Tessa on our team, and then Nikki and Carmen from Vegas. And Nikki's a great quarterback. She's a really good student of the game. Playing in Canada, I think, for all of us American girls, it was just huge. It was a great learning experience because on our team in Regina, we didn't have a coach. So we basically coached the team. We'd come in day or two before the game, game plan with them, strategize with them, and then go out there and hopefully execute. But, yeah, playing with Nikki is great. She hustles. She works hard. She knows the game well, and she's pretty much fearless.
Now, what did you think of the crowd in Regina, the stadium there, the atmosphere, the fanfare? Did you think, you know, were you wowed? I mean, was it something more than you would normally get in Minnesota?
Oh, yeah, they're awesome. The Canadians, as far as sports, Seattle's probably the best place to play, obviously, and Mexico and Australia were insane because, you know, those were one or two games. But going up to Canada compared to other venues in the U.S. was just, they're awesome. They're totally into it. They love their teams. They support their teams. We were fortunate enough to actually play in Saskatchewan, so we also had us and then Saskatoon. Was that what it was? Gosh, yeah, the Sirens. So we got to play against them in the same Providence. So that was pretty cool because we kind of had that interstate rivalry going on.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Canada definitely has a better fan base than I think the U.S. does, for sure.
So now you you came off the injury. You obviously finished the LFL Canada season. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, before this whole Minnesota thing just unraveled, but you know, what were your thoughts at that point? Were you guys traveling back and forth at that point? Were you flying from Minnesota to Regina?
Yeah. So once we're done with the All-Star Games and the Canadian season started, we would fly back and forth between Minnesota and Regina. With our team, again, I said we had no coaches, so we'd go up a little early. Then we'd have the games. We'd probably be there 3 days early, practice with them, get everything in order, and then play the game and come back. So we were back and forth. And then Whitney and myself in Minnesota with the coaching staff gone as well, we'd fly back on Sundays and do practices on Monday. So we had a lot of football in that time.
Now, Sydney, can you tell the fans a little bit about the pressures? I know we've had other players tell us. Can you tell us a little bit about the pressures of being pretty much rigid on a schedule, and you're really not being compensated for either, you know, certain other things? So can you tell us a little bit about how you manage that? I mean, obviously your regular job, and then you got to make the time for the games, and then you've got to obviously find the time for the gym time and eating and all that. I mean, how do you normally manage that, or how did you manage that?
Yeah. Okay. So personally, for me, I have a full time job, 40 to 60 hours a week. So when we were in the thick of the season, our coaching staff was actually really good last year, and they'd pick out days that 99% of us could always make it to practice. They'd be nights, and then, you know, we'd have the games on the weekend. So, and then any other weekend that we didn't have a game, we would be promoting. So it was a full-time job outside of a full-time job, and I think not being compensated had a lot to do with maybe the mass exodus this past season, just because, you know, last season you were playing still for the exposure to be on TV and to kind of have that thrill, and this season that's not even there, so, you know, you kind of have to weigh the pros and cons. Is this something that I want to put my body through for, just for, you know, 2,500 people to show up at a game? You know, so I think I weighed that personally in my life. If I'm in a sport, I'm going to be committed, so I would find time for it if I was in it. But I'm not going to lie, I love the free time I have now.
Yeah, and that's you and Tessa and everybody else that we've spoken to. Obviously, there's a little bit more freedom there, and obviously you make a decision, you know, based on that. So I know the fans were disappointed with, you know, some of the players from 2011 moving on, but at the same time, the fans also understand, obviously, the logistics behind it, and obviously your decision, the risk of your body, the injury, some of the things that obviously come into that intangible. You know, the fans would hope that it would have been different to maintain some of you guys, which were high-caliber players, to, you know, kind of grow the league in that sense. And unfortunately, that's not the case. So it kind of, you know, it kind of bums everybody out in terms of a fanfare. So, Sydney, I know you and Whitney were favorites. Were you guys, you know, basically the face of the Valkyrie at this point in Minnesota? Would you consider yourself the face of the Valkyrie?
I don't know. I think the experience of playing in Canada and for me getting to play in Australia, there's more exposure for us. They obviously wanted to do a lot of things with Whitney moving on this season. And, you know, it wasn't, we didn't make the decision to disappoint the fans. We definitely made the decision on personal levels. We, like I said, her and I came back, and we definitely had the focus of this can be a great year for the Valkyrie. And we had the team in mind. We were holding tryouts on our own, trying to get the best athletes out there. So we were focused and ready, you know, to get this season going. And I definitely think the league was ready to throw Whitney into the spotlight in Minnesota. But things changed, so.
So your roles basically was at that point whether to participate with the new coaching staff or not, so you made a decision not to. So how was your experience overseas? I know you guys got compensated overseas, but, you know, tell us a little bit about Mexico and then maybe going to Australia in terms of your trips. I know you, on your trips in Australia, you guys basically went on to doing other things outside of the actual games.
Oh, yeah. The league gave us once-in-a-lifetime experiences. Mexico, obviously, it was during Cinco de Mayo. The fans were awesome. The venue was great. I guess the city was a little scary with they kind of carted us around like we were in hotel lockdown. But overall, that whole game, that whole atmosphere was just really exciting to kick off the All-Star Tour. And then going to Australia, I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better trip. They provided all this fun stuff to do in Australia. And I had been to Australia before and regretted not doing some of the things, and the league paid for all of it. Great meals, great people. We had great hosts there. The whole experience there was just once in a lifetime. I mean, win or lose, you took great friends away from it and just awesome memories.
Wow, it seems like a lot of everybody got, you know, something great out of it, and then it just seemed like right after that, just things did not evolve. So in your opinion, do you think the Legends Football League at this point, because I know everybody treats the league kind of like the 70-year-old NFL, you know, because, you know, everybody expects certain things, higher expectations. Do you think, Sydney, you stepped away from it? What's your feelings of the league maybe going forward in the next maybe 2 years? What's your gut feeling? Is it surviving at this point? Is it going to grow better? I know it's expanding to Australia this fall, and then obviously Canada's coming up around the bar. So what's your feeling in terms of the future for the Legends Football League in your eyes?
I can probably only speak for the U.S., but they need some type of exposure for the girls to stick around and some type of compensation. I mean, there have been some pretty bad injuries lately that, you know, you have to weigh whether or not it's worth it. And the talent is what makes the game. Yes, you created the product, but we're the ones out there putting our bodies on the line. And unless that gets more notice and that gets more respect, I just don't think it's going to keep going. But that's just my opinion, and I love all the girls that are still in the league. I wish them nothing but the best and totally respect what they're doing, but the league's just not for me anymore.
Now, Sydney, if you had to put it together in a context, because we talk about amateur football, you know, the 11-on-11 leagues as well, and there's no compensation there because everybody has to pay to play as well. So do you feel like maybe the LFL maybe needs to go to a tier system? I know that they promised a tier system, obviously, for this coming season. Do you feel like maybe Mitch is going to make the decision of maybe a tier system maybe next year or the year after? Because it would only make sense, because if whoever's playing on the field should get higher paid than somebody that's obviously lower tier or in that sense. Do you feel maybe that's going to be a change that, or a forced change? There's two leagues right now in place to launch in 2014. One's already launched this month, and they're basically compensating their players on a smaller scale, of course, but they're compensating their players within the season. They're not compensating out of the season, but they're compensating within the season. And in 2014, the other league, the Women's Indoor Football League, is going to kick off, and they're going to do the same thing. They're going to compensate the players within the season. So you feel like maybe that'll put pressure on the LFL to make the changes necessary to maybe start compensating?
I would hope it would put the pressure on them. Girls definitely in this league, how much energy, effort, time they put into it should be compensated. One thing that the LFL offers individuals and players wanting to play is a little more exposure. And like I said, they don't actually have that exposure this year that they've had in the past. So if you want to keep them around and you have other leagues willing to pay players, well, you know, it's going to be a little difficult if you're not willing to pay them as well.
Now, I'm going to sit here as a outsider, and I'm going to say Sydney Froelich, I am part of the WIFL. And I want you in my league, and I will compensate you. What would be your decision then? Do you think you'd make a decision of go? Because they have teams in Philadelphia, New Jersey, ready to go within the next 6 months. Do you feel like maybe you're able to do that if somebody came to you with that offer?
It'd have to be the right offer, because it's definitely not about the money for me, because clearly I played all last year without expecting to receive anything, and going overseas and getting paid was an extra little bonus. But for me, it would have to be the right situation, the right coaching staff, and just the right organization. A big part of not playing in the LFL has to do with the organization, and, you know, things didn't always trickle down the way they were supposed to, and you weren't always told the truth. And for me personally, I don't ever think I would have gotten the recognition or, you know, support I did if I didn't have Coach Tony in Minnesota. I don't think the league would have ever noticed me. So for me to say that, oh, I could get paid to play in another league, it would have to be the right situation, the right coaching staff.
Well, that's great to hear. It's great to hear. Our fans were just, you know, we wanted to get you on because our fans had a lot of questions about, you know, what happened. And, you know, it just seemed like a lot of the players in 2011 kind of just disappeared. And a lot of the fans are kind of like, they have a lot of questions about your decisions and whys and hows. And this kind of, you know, puts a good picture as to what happened with the Valkyrie as well on your side. And then obviously trying to get Whitney on to kind of explain her side as well. But with the same token, you know, it was really a decision about, you know, personal decision about making the decision about, like you said, not participating in something that obviously you're not comfortable in. So that's the bottom line there. So, Anthony, tell us a little bit about what your future holds. What are we going to see from you in terms from the fans? I know you're on Twitter, and you changed your Twitter name. I was like, what? And I'm like, Ducky or Duck. And I couldn't even find you. And I'm like, I finally had to go to Tessa's Twitter feed, and then I see Sid on there, and I'm like, is that her? Yeah, that's her. So can you tell us a little bit about why the change on Twitter?
Well, the change on Twitter, well, I changed it in the beginning for the league, you know, Minnesota McNasty, which actually stood for defense, nastiness on defense. But I'm done with Minnesota. I'm actually moving out of Minnesota, so it was just time for a change for me, so Sitting Duck is what it is. It's just actually something one of the former players came up with on the Valkyrie. Had me laughing, so I chose to change it.
Well, it's really cute. That's what I'm saying. That was kind of cute. I wouldn't have never found you under that as well, so that's cute. Tell us a little bit about your relationship and your playing time. Obviously, you played at the All Fantasy Games. You played at the Australia and Mexico. Tell us a little bit about some of the players you played with and some of the players that maybe you admired at this point based on their skills on the field. I know you played with, you know, Tessa Barbera, of course, in Canada in the All-Star Games. What are the other players that you can you tell the fans about that you had a great experience or a great time playing with them and what they brought to the table in terms of those games?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So, well, the whole West, the girls are just awesome. Can't say a poor thing about any of them. Mexico was awesome. Monique, I absolutely love playing with her. She's, when you think of the LFL, you think of her, and she didn't disappoint when I met her, and her passion for the game and her knowledge for the game. She's just exciting. Heather Furr, a lot like my personality when we're doing anything, and she's just a blast. She's such an athlete. She's freaking nature. And then when I went to Australia, the team switched a little bit. We got some different players in there. Obviously, Annie Erler, she's a Green Bay girl. I love the Packers, so we relate on a lot of levels. She's a hell of an athlete. And then getting to play on the line with Sunshine and Christine was just an unreal experience. Christine is hands down my favorite person to play with out on the field. She's just a super teammate. And then getting to play with Salerno and some of the other LA girls and seeing how a championship team runs things, like Melissa and Amber Reed and Chloe, they just run things so efficient. They work hard. They know the game. They know the LFL, and that's important because the LFL is completely different from 11-man football. And getting to play with all of them was awesome. And obviously Tessa, she's just awesome. No one would ever guess that we're friends when you look at us, but I would do anything for her out on the field, and I think she'd do anything for me. The girl wants to win, and I like that. But I could go on about all the girls in the West. Nikki Johnson.
Now you have one If you can pick two competitors that you had a hard time against, who would be the top two players in your career that you said, oh, well, here we go again?
Let's see. I'd have to say Chloe, because when Chloe does something, it's like at 100%. And when we played L.A. during the regular season, that game was just physically just exhausting, like boom, 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 boom. And then otherwise, athletically and an opponent, I guess you'd have to say Erler. Like, the girl just, she just doesn't stop. You think you have her where you want her, and she does something. She'll do it on defense or offense. Like, the girl is just an amazing competitor, an amazing athlete.
And it's you know what? You played on the West teams, and it seemed like the West teams were always somewhat dialed. Is that, do you think it was because of Bizov and the coaching that you guys had?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In Australia, they actually put us through a practice, and I hadn't had a practice that hard all season. Him and Michelson were putting us through just the ringer and conditioning, and we had just won in Brisbane, and we're, like, feeling good, and they brought us right back down to earth, made us very humble. Yeah, the efficiency and how they teach the offense and what they expected of you on defense, it was a great experience, and they made it that much better. They were such good teachers.
Now, you got to meet David Bizov, and he seems like a mastermind in a lot of ways, but I hear from other folks that he's really kind of a laid-back coach in a lot of ways with real simple formations. So is that a true analogy, you think, of David Bizov?
He's a fun guy. He expects you to be perfect all the time, which I think when you're expected to practice like that, then it shows out on the field. And, yeah, everything he does is simple, and he doesn't ever apologize for it, but it wins. It wins games. When we went up to Canada and we didn't have a coaching staff, we knew what offense we could install right away up there in Regina. We'll go with LA's offense. We know how it runs. It's easy. We can teach everyone. And, I mean, you want to win, so why not do an offense that is proven to be successful? There's no reason in the LFL that you shouldn't score every time you have the ball on offense. The game is set up way too much for the offense to succeed. So, and he just shows time and time again that it's simple.
Yeah, and then you had to face, I think, Tamar Fennell as well up in against Saskatoon. And she's a huge talent in terms of cutting the corners and stuff like that as well, right?
Oh, wow. That girl is fast as hell. she's a great competitor. I love playing against her. Good person, really good competitor. I like a few of the people in the East. I'm not going to say I like a lot of them, but she's one of the good ones over there.
Now, you and Whitney were basically the all-star, all-fantasy. So, from your days in Minnesota, can you tell the fans, like, maybe one or two other players on your team that maybe didn't get noticed? But I know you had Lisa Bastin. I know Lisa got hurt initially at the first go-round. What other two, couple players that were playing on with you guys that the fans can obviously be aware of that, they put in the time and they're really good players, but they just didn't get the press?
Okay, yeah. I mean, a lot of people put in time in Minnesota. Obviously, John Skirdick, that was our quarterback, she got hurt, and for her to even make it back for that final game to try and play again was just a testament to how bad she wanted to be out there. Roxy Baring, she was a receiver corner. She probably didn't get the credit she deserved. She worked really hard. I think we were just young, and our first year, there was a lot to learn, so I think you would have seen a lot of people grow in year two had they stuck around, but, a lot of people chose to move on, and, just kind of how it goes.
So now, Sydney, you're going to go into a new position, I guess, with your job and all that on the East Coast. Are you still conditioning, or are you doing any extra hobby stuff to maintain your football level of fitness, or is it just that normal for you to be in a fitness mode?
For me, I'm the regular. I just like sports in general. I'm actually in the process of deciding whether or not to have shoulder surgery, and then I have an MRI actually tomorrow on my knee. So for me, I'm kind of just a cardio queen right now while my body heals and I figure out where to go with my shoulder and knee for the future.
Now, was it bad news initially for you, or is it something that's starting to heal now at this point? I know the surgery has to happen at some point, right?
Yes, exactly. Well, with Canada and the shoulder, I knew it was hurting, but it was basically, 2 weeks after the season, we're getting into the swing of Valkyrie tryouts and mini camps, and it just wasn't feeling right. It wasn't healing right. The rehab really wasn't working. So I got an MRI on that, and I have a completely torn labrum and some other things torn towards the back of my shoulder that they've recommended surgery, if I ever wanted to play again. But finding the time in my work schedule and in my life has not been the easiest. So when I choose to make that decision, quite a few girls, Sage has come back from it, Christine Moore has come back from it, I think Laurel Creole's come back from it. A lot of girls come back from the shoulder surgery, but it's not just a quick little rehab. And then as far as my knee, I heard that the first game of the Canadian season and just chose to play on it. And that maybe hindsight wasn't the best idea since I only am given two knees for my whole life. So I need to figure out what's going on in there. And so hopefully the MRI will tell me what I need to do, whether it's surgery or, just a more focused rehab program for my knee.
So,
but don't get me wrong. If someone said, here's a football, I'd go play tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, of course. We're not going to question your determination and effort on the field. So do you think maybe the injuries are a factor based on, obviously, the sideboards and the positioning or anything like that? What do you think it attributes? Because I know there's a lot of knee injuries, not on top of the shoulder injuries, but a lot of knee injuries that happen to a lot. So is that because of the pivoting, or is this just the way the routes are set up? Or what would you contribute to the knee injury at this point?
Turf's a little tricky. And I'm not going to say that it has anything to do with the sideboards or the turf. I think, it's just the wear and tear. And, I think that they maybe could call a cleaner game. There's a lot of high tackling, There's a lot of stuff that can cause injuries and probably has caused injuries. But for me personally, it had nothing to do with the equipment. The knee was just, my knee twisted funny under me when I got tackled once and blew out. And the shoulder, it just popped right on out. It's my body. I probably didn't have strong enough back muscles. So it's just freak accidents.
All right, cool. Sydney, before we let you go, and I appreciate your time today, can you tell us where everybody can find you, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter? Where can they keep up with you in terms of your, your adventure beyond the LFL at this point?
On Twitter it's Sitting Duck, and it's Sydney with a C, so it's CYDDING, and then Duck. My name on Facebook, you can find me there, Sydney Frelick.
You got an Instagram at all?
Instagram's the same as Twitter. Sorry. Yep, you can find me on Instagram.
Same as Twitter. Okay.
Yep.
I know I follow you on Instagram more than I do anywhere else, though, because you're a very funny character. So.
I like to have fun. You can't ever take anything too seriously, and that's one thing that the LFL was an unbelievable fun experience, and I have lifelong friends from it, so I'm never gonna regret doing it or playing or any part of it.
Well, we appreciate your time today. I know, you're on travel as well, so I totally appreciate that. And we appreciate you following us as well and supporting us in our endeavors and our branding as well. So we wish you the best of luck. We hope you, you get blessed and healed up with your shoulder, and hopefully the knee is not such a bad situation that it can't get rehabbed. And in your future, obviously, in your professional career, we hope you have very, very much good success. And we look forward to, obviously, like I said, following you on the social sites.
Absolutely. And go out and support the LFL. Go to some games.
All right. Sydney,
thank you.
Safe travels. And I wish you the best of luck. You can always count on us. Direct message us on anything that you like us to do, anything promoting or anything in the future that you like that's related to maybe a women's gridiron or football or something that you're doing with charity. You're welcome to obviously hook us up with that, and we can see what we can do for you in terms of exposure and getting the word out for other things that obviously you might come up with. So we appreciate that, and safe travels out in Minnesota, and we wish you well in your transition over to the East Coast and success there as well.
Thank you. Have a good one. Thanks for having me.
Enjoy it. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
So that was Sydney Froelich. She was a former all-fantasy player with the Lingerie Football League, which is now the Legends Football League. And she, to her point, she's got some injuries from playing in the league. She's got no regrets. It was a great experience to play in the Legends Football League. She's made a lot of contacts and a lot of friends, like she said, and a lot of, met a lot of amazing players as well. And so she's decided not to participate this year, and she's moving on to obviously a more state with career and getting her health back in shape and getting physically back in that sense. So we welcome everybody to her site on Sydney Froelich on Facebook. Follow her journey beyond the LFL. She was probably one of the main faces on the Minnesota Valkyrie as well when they started the first year. So she's a great person and an amazing athlete and talent on top of that. So we hope she does well and her career is blessed in that sense. We are going to go into the two-minute drill, and the two-minute drill is sponsored by Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauty, and that's our no-joke football brand, your attitude, your gear, and you can get it at Zazzle.com/Gridiron Beauty. So we didn't have much to talk about this time around, but there are some events coming up in the IWFL in terms of fundraisers. And I didn't get a chance to tell you, but I know there's a lot of teams, so you can follow our Twitter feed for that, or you can go directly at the IWFL on Twitter, and you can get the teams that obviously are posting, and they're reposting their tweets as well for those events. We will get the Maritime Women's Football League scores up and running on Twitter. You can get that also as well. We thank the league there for supplying that as well for us. We want to thank WTF Canada and obviously Canada Chat for their amazing feedback this week with the Football Canada, Team Canada efforts in that regard. And we also want to thank the leagues out in Europe for their participation, and exclusively Touchdown Europe. Touchdown-Europe.net is the source site that you can go for all the updates. There will be daily updates, daily clips, and information on interviews throughout the tournament. So we're looking forward to next Sunday, and we'll be talking about probably four matchups in the Women's World Championship slate. So Tuesday, we got Sweden versus Germany, and you got Spain taking on Canada. And then on Thursday, you're going to have Germany versus U.S., and then Canada versus Finland. And on Saturday, we will have the deciding games at this point. So we got a lot to talk about on Sunday, next Sunday, because the decision will be made on the 7th, and it's going to be placement 5 and 6. We'll see who the bet ends up as the final, two teams for the bottom half of the slate. And then we'll also have the bronze medal game and the gold medal game. So the expectation, I think, if we had to put a prediction together, and which we will before we get out of here, so our prediction will be the return matchup of 2010. And we can't see any other game in that sense. So the gold medal game, in our prediction, Team USA versus Team Canada. And I truly believe at this point, more than likely, it will be Team USA. Based on their output so far, we'll take a look at the game against Germany and see how they do well there. We'll take a look at Canada, obviously, on Tuesday and Thursday to see how they do against Spain and Finland. That'll give us a little gauge on that. But we have to put the champs as favorites in the gold medal game if they were facing Canada. The bronze game, I think it might be Finland and Sweden at this point. But more likely, it'll be Finland and Germany, maybe for the bronze. And then the feeder game will be Sweden and Spain. So that's our predictions for the Women's World Championship, the IFAB 2013 tournament. Thank you for joining us today on Sunday, June 30th. It was a great day of gridiron all over, especially in Vantaa, Finland. We appreciate that. The LFL US, you can go to the YouTube channel. You can catch the amazing game between the Passion and the Breeze on that happened there. And then also in Ontario, the Champion Temptation rebound against the Las Vegas Sin. So Temptation looking for their fourth championship under a new coach, new regimen. They ended up losing to Seattle, Seattle being the top team in the LFL US right now at 2-0. Seattle's going to play another couple games here, and we'll see if they stay undefeated. It'll be a great test to see Seattle, LA, once again in the playoffs and see who comes out. Los Angeles has a history of kind of faltering during the regular season, but they also have this huge, surge in the playoffs. They've never lost in the playoffs. So at this point, the situation where they're Seattle can beat them twice, if that's the case. So if they run the table the next game against, I believe it's Green Bay, if I'm correct, if LA wins their next game, then it would be probably a rematch in the playoffs, Seattle against LA, and that would be probably in Denver, if not Ontario once again. So you can catch up all the details on that, and you can go to LFL360.com for all the details there, or you can go to their official website at MyLFL on Twitter, or you can go to LFLUS.com for all the information and details there. So for Oscar Lopez, for all the staff at Gridiron Beauties and our social sites and for all our friends that supply us with all the information for the Women's Gridiron, we appreciate you joining us today on June 30th, and we look forward to another show next week. We look forward to the results of the Women's World Championship 2013 from Vantaa, Finland. More slate of games going forward, the IWFL. We also have the MWSFL. We also have the Italian League. So there's a lot of football and women's gridiron that's happening with championship games coming up, with the leagues evolving into the playoffs. And we'll also have, after the Women's World Championship, you'll have the WFA playoffs continue to the road to Balboa for the WFA National Championship. So a lot of football still to be played in the women's gridiron. We hope you'll join us next week on Sunday for another edition of Women's Gridiron Football, Gridiron Beauties Radio, where we interview a current star or a former star from a traditional or non-traditional league. So thank you. Have a great Sunday, and we look forward to that next week.